going through the book of Romans, and Romans, of course, begins by sharing, I mean, basically the first eight chapters are a very solid presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it tells us how we become Christian, what it means to become Christian. And he starts off, of course, in the first two and a half chapters talking about sin and the depths of sin and the mire that it can lead people to and separation from God ultimately. And then in the next chapters, we're going to rehearse those a little bit again, but it talks about how we gain righteousness and what, you know, that righteousness does for us. And then from then on, you know, from chapter 6 on, he, for the most part, talks to us about how we live our lives in Christ, how we are to be joined to Jesus Christ. And we're going to see a lot of that today. But first, I want us to remember what he's already said to us, at least about righteousness, right? First of all, God is the source of righteousness. If I find myself not thinking right or drifting away a little bit, I know I need to pray and call upon the name of God and ask God to restore my strength, restore my spirit, so that I'm able to, you know that power of his righteousness again. Righteousness only comes from the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In Jesus on the cross, Jesus dying for us, and it gives us mercy, it gives us forgiveness, it gives us grace, and it gives us this righteousness that we have, right, all through that atoning sacrifice. It comes to us when we believe in Jesus. It's by faith, right? We believe in what God sent Jesus to do, and he sent him to die for us, to rise for us, and to be our Lord, right? And so we believe in that, and that's when God gives us, credits to us, righteousness. It's not something we earn. It's not something we work for. It doesn't, you know, we were talking about in Sunday school, you know, it's not about what we eat or don't eat. It's about, you know, believing in Jesus. And then God says, when I look at you, I say, you're righteous. He looks at us as righteous. One of the things I think about, because sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't see it that way, right? But the thing is, I don't want to argue with God. I don't want to say, oh, yeah, I know that's the way you look at me, but, you know, do you know what you're talking about? Yes, he does. So when God credits righteousness to us, it is indeed righteousness, right? And he says that, you know, several times in our chapters. And then, you know, he basically talks about it's not through the law, it's not through works, it is through grace by God's gift. It brings us, I think I got this, nine times it said credited to us, righteousness brings us peace with God. So this righteousness, and we've talked about this for several weeks, but this righteousness is God's way of saving us from the degradation and the death that comes from sin. And we'll see that today. But now Paul wants to talk to us about being joined with Jesus Christ, that righteousness brings us peace with God, it brings us reconciliation, and now our life is connected to Jesus. And he uses a word to talk to us about that. It's actually soon or son, and that's with, right? With Christ. And he says, so the question he raises after talking about righteousness and showing us how God gives us the gift of righteousness, and we have that righteousness that comes by faith, you know, say, so what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, as God made me righteous, has God given me a gift of righteousness so I can stay the same as I was, right? And literally, the word, you know, to be with Christ, I wanted to cover that first. Paul uses this in 14 different ways. He talks about being bound together with Christ, suffering with Christ, dying with Christ, being crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, to live with Christ, to be glorified with Christ, to be an heir with Christ, to rule with Christ. So those are all different ways that he uses this word soon to talk about us. And he says, since we are, you know, joined with Christ, and since God has given us this righteousness, should we remain entrenched in sin? And the word remain there is a very strong word. It doesn't mean, you know, how many of us make mistakes? Yeah, see, we do, right? It doesn't mean tripping up. It means it's a way of life. It's where I live. It's who I am. I remain. I am fixed, steadfast in a life of sin, right? And so he says, should we, you know, and go on sinning is a kind of a good way to say it, but really, should we stay entrenched in sin? Should we stay, and he'll say it later, should we stay a slave to sin, right? And he says, in order that grace may abound, that grace may increase, right? And that's what we call easy believism. It says, you know, because God made me righteous, it doesn't matter what I do. I can do anything I want. I can live any way I want, talk any way I want, you know, and live that same life I used to live. And you know, he answers the question, you know, make it into, never let it exist. Don't let that idea exist in our hearts or in our minds. We don't believe that Jesus Christ died so we could be free to sin. Jesus died so we could be free from sin. We'll see that in a minute. But the idea is, you know, never let it exist. Never let that idea exist, that the reason why Jesus died is so I would be able to just continue that old life, that life. You know, our thinking should be based on, you know, who Jesus is in our life. Jesus took my place on the cross. When Jesus died, I died. Jesus, you know, died past tense, right? He died past tense, but he lives future tense. I'm going to do that over here. Okay. So he says, or don't you know that when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death? So this idea of baptism, and some people want to say, oh, that has to do with the idea of the sacrament of baptism, right? And there is an element of that, because when a person comes to faith in Christ, an adult comes to faith in Christ, they have that faith, and they say, you know, there's water, I should be baptized. Right? Because then that's, we symbolize our identity with Christ through water baptism. But it also has a meaning, as Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. It means an identity, that we've covered ourselves with Jesus Christ, right? And that's what he's talking about. He says, don't you understand, when you were baptized in Christ, you were baptized into his death. Again, when, you know, he took up the cross, we take up the cross. When he died, we died, right? We died with Jesus Christ. The old man dies with Christ, right? And that's what, you know, the identity that we have with Jesus is the way we live once we receive righteousness, right? I live with Jesus. His death was my death. That's what Paul tells us to think about. When he was buried, I was buried, right? And he says, in order that just as Christ was raised, we might be raised. So just think of this as your life. Your life is that where, you know, the old person, the person that was sinning, the person that was a child of Adam and not a child of Christ, that person who was a slave to sin, couldn't do anything right, broke the law all the time, not man's law, but God's law, offended God, became enemies of God, all of that, right? That old man, when had faith in Jesus Christ, that old man died on the cross with Jesus, right? Died on the cross with Jesus. That old man was buried in the ground. Now, the cool thing about Almighty God, our Father, he didn't leave us dead and buried, right? He rose us up, just like he rose up Jesus. Think about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was laid in a tomb, and God wasn't finished then. That would have been a sad story had that been the end of the story. But the end of the story is Jesus is raised up from the dead to be a whole new person and to be glorified and to ascend into heaven. And next time we see him, he's, you know, glowing in Paul's vision, and he's standing in the center of the throne of heaven, right? God didn't leave him dead. God didn't leave him buried. And God doesn't leave us buried. He says, you know, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Just think what that means. Raised through the glory of the Father. There is so much power in Christianity. And I'm afraid too many people live apart from that power. Too many people live apart from the glory of God. He says, Jesus was raised from the dead and glorified and ascended, like I just said, into the center of authority over all the universe. That was by the power of God, the God who speaks and causes universes to come into existence, the God who speaks and takes soil and breathes life into it and makes a man, creates a woman out of a rib, right? That God who says, takes things that are non-existent and calls them into existence. We don't do that. I hear people say that. They're so foolish. We're not God. And we don't have that power. But God has that power. God has that power. He says, by the glory of God, we too are taken from the grave. We too, who died on the cross with Christ and were buried with Christ, we too have been raised up by the power and glory of God. By God's glory. Right? And that is to a new life. That resurrection is not... Again, he starts out, you know, should we continue to sin? You know, never let it be. We were dying with Christ, buried with Christ, and now raised by God's glorious power to a new life, to a new way of living. He said, you know, how do we think that we should ever be entrenched in sin like someone who doesn't know Christ? That's not the place of a Christian. That's not the power of the cross. That's not the power of the resurrection. That's not the power of God. The power of God says, yes, you deserve death. Yes, you were crucified. Yes, you were buried. And yes, I rose you up from the dead to be new, to be different by the power of God Almighty, right? So he says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Are we, you know, with Christ? As I did, and he uses that term, like I said, so many times, 14 different ways, Paul uses that term of being with Christ, united with him. I'm united with his death, and I'm united with his burial. And praise God, by the power of Christ, by the power of the resurrection, by the power of Almighty God, raised to a new life, raised to know the power of the Spirit, the truth of God, all that comes with it, right? Now, remember, we've talked about this. I've used this paradigm to talk about being a slave to sin, to be locked in. Human beings that do not have Christ cannot help themselves. They're not free to do what they want to do. They're under Adam. They're under, you know, a slavery to sin. They do nothing but the works of the flesh. There's nothing good in them, nothing righteous. Not that they can't appear to humans to be good, but in the eyes of Almighty God, in the eyes of God, there's none good, no one righteous. Remember that list from chapter 3? Such end up under wrath and in hell, excluded from God's kingdom. By faith in Christ, we come over to this other side. By faith in Jesus Christ, we receive that righteousness. We're baptized with Christ. We're joined with Christ. And then he says, these are the next two verses in chapter 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. And then there's this, in order that this is the hina clause in Greek, but it means this happened so this could happen, right? He says, we were crucified with him so the body of sin might be done away with. And that word basically means to remove completely. The body of sin is done away with. And I put that arrow back, say, that's Adam. The body of sin is Adam. Anybody that's living according to the body of sin is living under Adam, and they're under that category of judgment, condemnation, and exclusion from God. They're separated. They're isolated, right? And he says, we died with Christ. When we died with Christ, he said, that old body that tied us to Adam, that old body is no more, and now we are under the head of Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember from last week, we talked about you either under Adam or under Christ. And he says, now we're under Christ. That we should no longer, listen to this, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And I use that term all the time. You know, modern psychology, they want to talk about addiction and this and this. No, no. Slavery to sin is the biblical way to think about people that are trapped and cannot change. Trapped and cannot change. Listen, a servant, a doulos, a slave, one who not only has no possibility of evading the task laid upon him. In other words, a slave must do what the master says. Slave must do what the master says, right? And that means if you're a slave to sin, you obey sin. If you're a slave to sin, you must. Don't have a choice. You see this? You don't have a choice if you're still under Adam, if you're still there. But when Jesus Christ died, when Jesus Christ rose, and we died with him, and we were buried, and we rose, God gave us a choice. Now we can tell sin, no. No. When I first became a Christian, I used to walk around the house I was living in, and these bad ideas would come to my mind, and I'd say, the Lord rebuke you. And I mean, I probably said it 100 times a day at least. You know, the Lord rebuke you. Get behind me. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, and that was, you know, didn't think about it at the time, but that was exerting the power of Christ to say no to sin, to evil thoughts, to evil suggestions. Just in the power of Christ, by the resurrected power of Christ, we can say no. We're no longer slaves to sin. The other thing about a slave is they have no right of personal choice. Think of that. A servant has no right of personal choice. They can only do what they're told. They can't say, well, today I'm going to, no, you know, you do what you're told to do, right? Now, next week we'll talk about a different master, but this week we're just talking about the idea, the death and resurrection of Christ in us, with Christ, right, says that my old body, my old man is to be dead and raised, and free from the power of sin. So Paul's answering the question, God has given us this great gift of righteousness. He's given us this great, you know, cleansing of our soul. I can pray to God, and I don't have to feel afraid because God hears his children, and there's this righteous relationship of reconciliation and peace because God has given me righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? God has given that. So then how do we live? He says, you live as though you belong to Jesus. You live as though you joined with Jesus in death, burial, and resurrection. Then we don't live the same way. We can't live the same way. He said, how can we live the same way? We've been transformed by God, by his power, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, again, Paul uses that. The point is, a dead person can't sin, right? That doesn't mean that you're made righteous if you die. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that way, but it's not really what happens. But once you're dead, you can't sin, right? Your sins are done forever. All right. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with him. This is where you get, past tense. If I died with Christ, I'm going to live with Christ, future, right? I'm going to live with Christ. So, in other words, there's a line drawn. I died with Christ. I called on Jesus Christ. I asked him to be my Savior. And God says, you died with him. You were buried with him. And now you are raised with him to live the rest of my future life with Christ, to live with him, right? For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. We shouldn't go back to that old dead person. We shouldn't go back to that old dead way. We want to live a new life, the living life of the resurrection of Jesus, right? The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So again, he's saying to us, listen, are you with Christ? Did you die with Christ? He says, you died that death to sin. But now when Jesus rose, he's living in heaven. He's living in the glories of the angels, praising God all day and all night long. He's living in a place of perfection and peace and joy. And he says, that's where you're supposed to live. You're supposed to live now to God. You're supposed to live with the hope of celebrating and knowing and worshiping and praising and praying and walking with God for the rest of your life. That's what he's calling us to. So he says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin. Now remember, we talked about the word logizomai. He said, righteousness is reckoned. God considers you righteous. He looks at you and he says, I think about you as righteous because of your faith in Jesus. Same word. Logizomai, consider yourself dead to sin. You know, I don't have to do the things that, you know, put me in torment and separation from God. I don't have to do them. Consider yourself dead to sin. How do you think of yourself? You know, we're not free agents just do whatever we want. We're free to follow God. We're free to follow Jesus. We're free to have Christ in us, right? And think of yourself alive to God in Jesus Christ. He says, that's how you want to think of yourself. I don't want to be dead in sin. I want to be alive in Christ. I don't want that old life. I want that new life. I don't want the man that deserved to die on the cross. I want the one that's raised from the dead that gets to be with God forever, right? So that's what Paul's telling us. He's telling us to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ and break free as God has given you power to break free. Not by your own strength. None of this said, and you need to do this. No, it says you just need to think of yourself as being with Christ, dead to sin, alive to God. And you need to live in that realm of being alive to God and alive with Christ. Amen.